Hello, and welcome to the AMED Effect Podcast. I'm your host, Will Cunningham. And I just want to let you all know that this podcast was created to talk about the causes and effects of Army medical opportunities. I'm sure those of you who don't know much about AMED are probably wondering, what is AMED and why is it important for me to learn about it? That's why today's episode, well, let me rephrase that. Our very first episode is all about the Army Medical Department with our very first guest, Lieutenant Colonel Christopher Remillard from 3rd Medical Recruiting Battalion. But before we get started, I need everyone to do me a favor. Please subscribe to the podcast, like, comment, and share it with one of your friends. So that way we can reach more people and they can learn about the AMED department.
Are you looking to pursue a successful healthcare career at one of the largest and most advanced medical facilities in the country? If so, look no further. The U.S. Army is here. Visit goarmy.com/AMED to learn how you can serve soldiers, their families, military retirees, and at times the general public while providing meaningful service.
Everyone, please give our friend, Lieutenant Colonel Christopher Remillard, a great welcome and a round of applause. How's it going today, sir?
I'm great, Will. I appreciate the opportunity to sit here with you today and actually discuss what it is AMED has to offer all those people in the country.
Man, thank you for being here. We are proud and we're glad to have you here on the show. Talk a little bit about AMED so that way we can kind of give everybody an overview about the department, what they do, what AMED consists of, what they do, and how those individuals can come and be a part of the team as well. Well, let me ask you this. How have you been enjoying the weather here lately in Kentucky? It's pretty cold outside.
I actually enjoy the cold. as a kid that grew up in upstate New York, snow is my friend, love to ski. Here in Kentucky, it's like a little bit of everything. If I could still run without having to worry about slipping.
Yeah, you're right about that. Down here, we always call it the Ohio Valley. So sometimes in the summer, when it comes to the allergies, that's a problem. But then in the winter, and I think in the winter, it gets cold, but it comes a little late. But I say we probably get all four seasons. So it's pretty good. So it's pretty good here in Kentucky. So glad you're enjoying the weather. Glad that it's okay. You're still able to get out, do everything that you need to do. But let's get into the show. Before we get started, can you give everybody a brief background about who you are, what you do, and what your career has been like while you've been in the military?
Yeah, sure. So like I said, I grew up in upstate New York. It's a suburb of Syracuse, which is Baldwinsville. It seems to be a lot of recruiters like to live there when they're stationed in Syracuse Battalion. Met a couple just in this last year, so it's phenomenal to see folks from our roots. But yes, Baldwinsville, New York native, went to college at Ithaca College down the Finger Lakes, just south of Syracuse. Studied physical therapy, got my master's in physical therapy for there. But while in PT school, joined the ROTC battalion at Cornell University.
Okay.
Commissioned out of Cornell's ROTC program in 2004, and been a physical therapist in the Army ever since. And since then, my career has taken me on the clinical route, went to and got another graduate degree from the U.S. Army Baylor University program, got a healthcare administration degree on the Army's dime, another opportunity, which you mentioned earlier. It's all about opportunities here in the Army.
Yes, sir.
And I got my DPT from Temple University out of Philly online. And then my career has then progressed through clinical care to performance care up into my current position as the battalion commander for 3rd Medical Recruiting Battalion, which is responsible for bringing in the Army's healthcare professionals as well as chaplains into the ministry.
Okay.
For the U.S. Army from everywhere between North Dakota and Cincinnati and everything in between.
Hey, everybody, let's give Lieutenant Colonel Remillard a round of applause. He said Ithaca. He said Temple. He said Cornell. Hey, let's give him a round of applause for that, you guys. So, could you break down what AMED stands for and what soldiers within AMED do in the Army?
Well, AMED is an acronym, as the Army has. It's all acronyms, and they get the lovely dual hat of being a healthcare professional with our acronyms. and the military acronym. So AMED is the Army Medical Department.
Okay.
It consists of the six primary corps of health professionals. So you're talking medical corps, which are your primary, your physicians and surgeons, dental corps, vet corps, Army Medical Specialist Corps, which I'm a part of as a physical therapist, the nurse corps, as well as the medical services corps, which is your kind of your background. And when you talk about hospital, your lab, there are some clinical providers in that, which like your optometrists and your pharmacists. But a lot of the folks that run the hospital systems and the operations behind the delivery of healthcare, because it is an entire team that brings healthcare to life here in the service.
So would you say with all of the six different corps that this is the way that the Army has been coined the largest comprehensive systems of healthcare in the country?
Yeah, I mean, not only is it that entire team, but you've got to think it's multi-composition. We're talking National Guard, the Reserves, our civilian corps. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a significant amount of civilian employment opportunities in the AMED. And so it's a total Army medicine force. And so when you bring all of that to bear, you're bringing the forefront of the highest quality of care, innovation, research to the forefront to care for our soldiers, family members, and retirees and the remaining beneficiaries for the Department of Defense.
Now, when I was on the website, I was looking through and they talked about all of the different medical training facilities and the different residencies the students are able to attend, and they're pretty much throughout the country. Can you give us any insight on those residency locations and what makes them unique?
So residency locations, typically when you look at like the Army Medicine website, really are germane to our physician residencies, so post-medical school.
Okay.
There's nine major facilities ranging from Tripler Army Medical Center in Hawaii through the center of the country all the way out to Walter Reed National Military Medical Center. And each one, I mean, they have the core medical professions as far as the residencies go, and some of them will have some of the unique ones depending on what they have available service and space-wise. But they are unique because you're at the forefront of medicine. You're talking the highest quality care. Like I said, you're talking about physicians practicing at the highest level of their credentials in these health systems. And it's across the lifespan of a human from, you know, pediatrics and neonate all the way through geriatric care, because we have to care for our retiree beneficiaries as well.
Now, are these individuals able to select the residency that they would like to go to, or is it something that they say, hey, we're going to send you guys over here? Do they have that choice?
So residency matches, very similar to that of what your civilian counterparts would have if you were not part of the military training system. You get to pick the residency and then you match, right? Based off of your, I'm assuming it's your aptitude. Not a physician having gone through that, probably not the best person to answer that specific question, but you know, you talk about aptitude, where you fit with your skills and knowledge and where you're best suited, but it also has to do with like what you want to do. Like you want to be an orthopedic surgeon. Our match rates are unprecedented as far as compared to our civilian counterparts. I think it's upwards of 90% match rate year to year.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
So you're saying that 90% of the individuals who go through the program, they are able to match with the residency of their choice.
That's my understanding. That's correct.
Let's give a round of applause for that. That's 90%, you guys. Now, you mentioned match day, and it's almost similar to what students who are in college, who are in medical school, they match and they go somewhere to a particular residency. Now, I saw on your social media page, the Third Medical Recruiting social media page, that they just recently had a match day. Is that something that you all recognize on a consistent basis? And how Absolutely. Often does that happen?
So match day occurs annually, mirrors the same process as a civilian match. If you were in civilian medical school, matching to a civilian residency. Except we do ours in December, so you know several months ahead of your peers where you're going to be and what kind of specialist you're going to be, which is phenomenal. And we try to recognize that, highlight that to show, hey, look how strong that match is for what you wanted to do. Highlight that and celebrate it, because every person that joins the military puts their name on the dotted line to serve the nation deserves to be highlighted. That, and it shows like how quality our students are, and hopefully that, you know, attracts a friend to say, hey, I got what I want, so can you.
Yeah, that's great. And it's definitely great for people who are able to match and be able to do these things to be able to express how the process with their friends and say, hey, come along. You guys can join and be a part of this too.
Absolutely.
So that's definitely great.
Referrals are a huge part of our recruiting base. So, you know, tell a friend.
Tell a friend to tell a friend. Yes. Yes, sir. You guys hear that right. So make sure that when you hear this podcast, if you know somebody who is interested in pursuing a career with the U.S. Army in the medical field, that they listen to this show, get some information, and just follow through with the websites, reaching out to a recruiter. Make sure you guys are able to explain that and tell that to your friends and your family members. Now, sir, you are the battalion commander of 3rd Medical Recruiting Battalion, and you spoke earlier about how the medical recruiting battalion, they go out and they speak to different individuals at schools, colleges, universities, seminaries when it comes to the chaplains for these individuals to come in and do their job in the Army. Now, when you think about that, Pete, these individuals are in school. So paying for school is definitely something that is always going to come to, there will always be an issue when it comes to medical school due to the expenses. The Army has a program called the Health Profession Scholarship Program. And this program gives students the ability to launch their career with zero to little debt. Yep. Can you talk a little bit about the HPSP program, what it covers, and how it could be a great opportunity for those future medical professionals?
Yeah, absolutely. So HPSP is really kind of targeted towards three of our cores. So we've got our dental core, our medical core, which is our primary mission and our pipeline for building our physician base for military medicine, and our vet core.
Okay.
So our veterinarians. So there are veterinarians in the Army, and it's not just dog care. We got pathologists. We've got all sorts of subspecialties in the veterinary corps. I was surprised. I was like, wow, there's a lot of subspecialties here. But what those are, those opportunities to pay for portions or all of your medical school, depending on your specialty, while earning a stipend to help you pay through college. And each year, some of those benefits will change, and some of them are capped. You can only earn so much money, and you know it's dependent on the year, so you just got to pay attention to what it is. But typically, it's for medical students, it's 2, 3, and 4 year scholarships, depending on where you are in your school cycle. In dental school, I believe it's 2 and 3 year programs. The same with the vets as well. But you know, talk to your recruiter, make sure you get all those details because it can change and what opportunities are available. But yeah,
now. While students are in school paying for bills, having money to, you know, just eat, do anything, do just the regular things, that can become important. That is very important as a student. While you were attending school to become a physical therapist, did you hear or have the opportunity to learn about the HPSP program, and were you able to take advantage of it?
So was not able to take advantage of it. It's not one of the benefits or recruiting options for physical therapists.
Okay.
That'll change year to year as well, depending on need. So as PTs, I can speak to that more specifically just because it's of interest for me, specifically in my profession. Usually it's a health profession loan repayment program, or call it a HPLRP if you really want to do acronyms again. And they'll pay off part or all of your tuition, or you can do like a sign-on bonus. And again, fiscally, it changes year to year. I was naive. I was a non-scholarship cadet, and so I did ROTC and actually got the Health Professional Loan Repayment Program after I was already in.
Okay.
So I actually got a good chunk of my private tuition, my private school tuition, paid for on the back end, which was phenomenal. I've been debt-free for over 10 years.
Can't go wrong with that, you guys. Debt-free for over how many years, you say, sir?
10 years now.
Over 10 years. You can't beat that. So those of you who are in medical school, make sure you take a page out of Colonel Remillard's book.
Yeah, so learning about HPSP, no, I didn't know about it. Wish I had. Even other programs. The Army also has graduate programs that you can apply into, so like dietitians, I believe the doctor in occupational therapy, and then obviously the Army Baylor Physical Therapy Program is well-known nationally within our profession. And again, come out of undergrad, great grades, come get a free graduate degree and some phenomenal job opportunities to grow as a professional. So, yeah. So
can't beat it. Question. Can't beat it at all. I like it. So at what point does a student who's in college, who's interested in pursuing a career in the U.S. Army, at what point do they commission in? And when they commission in, what are they commissioned in as?
So it depends on where you are, right? But typically it's after you've got a conferred degree. Then you come in as your professional. You can come in as a professional. You're already working in the industry for one, two, how many years. You can come in and be that professional in the Army, just a transition. Find that opportunity to be like, I want to grow in a different way. When you're looking at, say, medical students, kind of going down that route, you finish your grad, undergrad, you've got a med school letter of acceptance, you're going. Depending on when your scholarship is, you may already be in. But for your scholarship, you graduate, you'll commission right before you start school, start earning your pay as a nice lieutenant, earning pay, get your stipend, and get your school loan paid off, coming out debt-free.
So they just continue to go to school, commission in, but continue to go to school, finish up their schooling, and then...
Yeah, and then you, once you finish that, then you're off your military service, and it's all part of a pathway, right? And so while you're in school, you're going to school. You're just a student. No other obligations. Gotta love it.
Gotta love it. Now, every year for the Kentucky Derby, Third Medical Recruiting Battalion, they hold a white coat ceremony. Can you talk about the white coat ceremony and why is it important to recognize those students during the Derby?
Yeah, it's just that's our little token to the local community to say, hey, here we are. Look at the great things. Bring some presents for one, Army medicine. Two, to really celebrate those students. Give them an opportunity to say, look at my commitment and give them an opportunity to really shine in the community. We give them a white coat. We bring them down into Winner's Circle, and we actually do their commissioning ceremony on site in front of tens of thousands of Derby attendees. My wife was in the stands while I did it my first year. I got to do the ceremony this year, and she says the crowd went silent. There was a hush during the ceremony. It was very reverent. I don't know. It kind of gives me goosebumps thinking about it.
I know it was probably a very good time being out there in front of that crowd. Recognizing those students, so I know it's a great opportunity, and it's probably a fun thing to be a part of on a yearly basis. Which brings me to my next question: do you only do the commissionings during the Derby, or do you commission throughout the years as well?
Throughout the year, there are monthly boards. So part of the process when you apply to for HPSB or any of the other like direct professional accessions into the Army, we have to put you to a board, and the Army has to decide, hey, are you qualified professionally to do this job and come in. And there's a whole process that you work with your recruiter on. Hey, make sure you're medically sound, or you're not putting yourself at risk if we were to bring you in. And then you go to a board. The board says yay or nay. They say yay. We try to get as much paperwork, done as the post-board process goes. And then we will commission you appropriately depending on the timing. And then we work with the professional, right? And so... Say you're a direct healthcare professional and like, hey, I got to close this patient loadout. It's going to be 3 or 4 months. We'll work with HRC to say, hey, can they go to a school date, a couple months down the road, get the paperwork signed, get you squared away, and then bring you on. And so there's ways to work with the health professionals to make sure that we've got appropriate timelines. Can't wait too long, right? Because, we brought you in the Army because we need health professionals to take care of everybody.
You all, this portion of the podcast is sponsored by the Health Profession Scholarship Program.
Launch your medical career with zero to little debt with the Army's Health Professions Scholarship Program. HPSP is one of the most comprehensive scholarships available in the healthcare field. The Health Professions Scholarship could be great for those pursuing a career in one of these fields: medical, including osteopathy, dental, veterinary, nursing, counseling and clinical psychology, and optometry. For more information, visit goarmy.com/HPSP.
Welcome back, you guys. And if you're interested in the Health Profession Scholarship Program, make sure you follow that website. That's goarmy.com/HPSP. Now back to the show with Lieutenant Colonel Christopher Remillard. Sir, you spoke earlier about how you weren't able to take advantage of the HPSP program, but I want to say you did take advantage of the financial assistance program and the health professions loan repayment. Mm-hmm. Can you briefly describe those programs and their requirements, if there are any?
So once you're on active duty or reserve, however that works, military personnel messages. It comes from HRC. Say, hey, here's a program, whether it's a school or a scholarship or a promotion board or whatnot. It's just a way of we communicate professionally internal to the Army for personnel actions. They put out an annual thing. Hey, this year we are actually going to offer this. And they say it's going to be this much time is owed back if we pay this many dollars towards your scholarship. So I had I did it in 2006, so I've been in the Army for about a year then. They offered, I think it was like $30,000-something per year. They gave me 2 years' worth, you know, take away taxes. Mm-hmm. That paid off more than two-thirds of my loans, and then I owed concurrent time.
Okay.
So it was like, I think, a year per year of scholarship, so I owed 2 years. I deployed, so I was gone for most of that period anyway, so it was an easy decision on my part. So I did take advantage of it. Whether I deployed or not, I would have done it because, you know, free money is free money.
Right. Yeah. You're right about that. Better take advantage of it as quickly as you can. Now, why is it important to have medical personnel a part of the Army? And how does their job differ from other healthcare providers, maybe outside of the Army in the civilian practice?
So there's a couple roles that we play. So not only are we a medical professional, but we're also a professional arms, right? Mm-hmm. As an officer, you are an officer. That is your profession of arms. We are still, like, this is your primary role. You are an Army officer. So you do have to, you know, uphold those standards. And so there's Army officer things you have to do. And it depends on what unit you're assigned to, what roles and responsibilities you take with that job title, along with your health profession. Like, I had to do officer things even when I was a clinician. I had to go to the range periodically and qualify my weapon. There's soldier tasks and battle drills, the basic things to be a soldier in the Army.
Right.
Because you don't want to be a liability to yourself or your peers when you're on the battlefield, you know, if you ever have to be put in that position.
Uh-huh.
Or even in a healthcare setting, right? So there's that role. And then not only are you caring for the health of the soldier or their family members, you're also taking care of their readiness. So there are requirements. Like today, right before this podcast, I had to go get my annual hearing exam. Every year there are medical things that we have to do. And you may be a practitioner that is part of that readiness process, but you're also part of the process making sure that you are a ready medical professional, ready to do what you need to do to, you know, support the nation.
Great. That's amazing. Now, part of being in the medical field, some of those providers, they also deal with the general public. Now, you, as a physical therapist, have you ever had the opportunity to collaborate with civilian doctors when it comes to providing soldier care and care for their family members?
Absolutely. So, you know, the large medical centers, like those nine graduate medical education centers, as well as the larger medical centers that may be not part of the training pipeline, if they're smaller, like here at Fort Knox, it's a health clinic, so there's limited resources because there's not a lot of need. There's not a lot of go-to-war forces on this post, so they've really been able to draw down some of the resources, and we rely on called the network of healthcare providers outside military treatment facilities. And so you go see a civilian orthopedic surgeon for your care. As a physical therapist, I've had to reach out to podiatrists, neurologists, and orthopedic surgeons on the civilian marketplace to coordinate care both to and from. But I've also, in my roles, say on staff, working as a health professional, being an advisor to the commanding general for an installation on health matters, I worked with a university to develop a relationship to help with training their students, but also providing access to the students for performance testing, whether it be strength, dietetics, or rehab. So the physical therapy students got to learn about military tactical medicine, and the soldiers got the benefit of interacting with physical therapists that taught them how to do movement patterns and program a physical training session. So there's collaboration and coordination across. And Army Medicine, Army Medical Command, Army Medical Department is big on civilian partnerships as well. You know, some of the MilSiv partnerships that are out there are for, like, say, forward surgical teams. Sometimes there's not enough trauma that goes on in our day-to-day lives as soldiers, which is great. We don't want a lot of trauma. Mm-hmm. But you got to keep those skills alive. So AMED has created MilSiv partnerships with major trauma centers throughout the country. University of Chicago's in our footprint. University of Milwaukee's another one in 3rd Medical Recruiting Battalion, and we use them as subject matter experts when we try to do some recruiting events. But they're in high volume trauma centers. And so our military trauma providers for specific units, they rotate through there for a couple of years and they get real life on the job trauma training. One of the nurses I met with when I was up there said, I've seen more gunshot wound trauma victims in the first 4 months of being at, you know, University of Chicago than she did in like 6 or 7 months or, you know, her entire deployment. Mm-hmm. She was downrange.
Oh, wow.
And so amazing training opportunities. And that's just one of many, right? And so we rely on our counterparts on the civilian side to help us with training. And, you know, like I said, U.S. Army Baylor University, they got 12 graduate degrees for various medical professions. Mm-hmm. I think the physician's assistant program is another. It's not part of Baylor. I think it's Nebraska. And so we work with those partners to help with our training and education.
Since 1775, Army chaplains have acted as spiritual counselors who support, motivate, and provide emotional guidance to soldiers and their families. We are looking for chaplains to care for spiritual, moral, and emotional well-being of the Army. Follow your calling as an Army chaplain. Visit goarmy.com/chaplain for more information or to speak with one of our virtual recruiters today.
You brought up trauma centers, big medical facilities, which what comes to my mind is Brook Army Medical Center. The reason why I bring up BAMC is because you all also do a Army medical or Army medicine experience on a yearly. Do you all do it on a yearly basis?
Depending on funding, it's annual. Last year we did a great one. I think we had 40 something folks that came down, all influencers, educators, health professionals within the recruiting footprint that help us get the word out, support us in our recruiting efforts, either allowing us access to students to just let them know about the opportunities that Army Medicine has. So if they choose not to work in a civilian clinic, they can pursue that opportunity to serve their country in another means or carry on their education beyond that. A lot of them are like undergrad educators, pre-med advisors, things like that.
Okay. I was wondering because I seen it and I was wondering, hey, well, what is the Army medicine experience about? So you all are bringing different individuals down, our influencers down who can learn about BAMC, learn about Army medicine. Absolutely. And then go out and spread that word.
A lot of people just don't know what there is. They don't know what opportunities, and we keep saying opportunities, but that's really what it's all about, right? They just don't know what Army medicine has to offer, or what it encompasses. It's so wide. It's really difficult to even try to explain it, as well as the influence that it's had on history. Part of that tour was amazing. The Army Medical Museum, or Army Medicine Museum, I should say, on Fort Sam Houston. It's got an amazing collection, and it shows the influence on Army medicine on what we see throughout the world in some cases. How we do trauma training, how we do triage in our emergency systems, how the emergency coordination system from point of injury to coordinated care, a lot of that was Army doctrine centuries ago. It's quite amazing to learn what there is, and even it being part of Army medicine for the last 19 years, I learned something new every day.
That's great. Learning something new every day, can't beat it. It's amazing. It's a good thing that you all bring those individuals down, because I imagine that it's able to talk to them about the different myths about the Army and the different things, and you're able to just dispel all of that information with those individuals, and they can go back and share it to people within their community.
Open the blinders, right?
Right,
so you don't know what you don't know, and maybe you'd be like, I thought it was all, you know, all Army people were, you know, knife hands, orders, and yelling. And it's really not, you know, we're still healthcare providers, mm-hmm. right? We just happen to wear green pajamas every day to work. It's awesome. And so, you know, once you break down those myths and dispel, like, we're still human. We're still mm-hmm. healthcare providers. We're doing what we were drawn to do as far as taking care of people. We just worked in a different population base, right?
Right.
And people just, it's good for them to see it, experience it, see what facilities work in. It's like no different, right? And some of the stuff when we were in BAMC, for instance, we were down in the emergency room in that whole trauma area. One of the influencers, you know, like, wow, this is really well set up. The hallways, the corridors are wide. They can accommodate X, Y, and Z. And he was like walking through this jargon for emergency medicine. I was like, okay, he gets it. He sees what we have to offer. We don't work in constrained environments as much as people think. Like, we have money to make sure that we've got the best care for our beneficiaries mm-hmm. across the spectrum.
Okay.
Now, the Army, they offer a range of benefits such as retirement plans, life insurance, and even education assistance. Can you tell us your knowledge of these benefits? And has you and your family enjoyed taking part in this?
Yep. I mean, everyone has heard of the GI Bill, right? So my kids can go to certain institutions. I can give them basically, I think, 2 years. You have to look it up, mm-hmm. The specifics. But I can give them a couple of years of free college education while they get a little stipend along with it. The Department of Defense has the TSP, the Thrift Savings Plan. It's basically our version of a 401k that you can self-manage. And so, obviously, the retirement process incorporates that TSP, and I believe it's a matching program for that retirement. So you don't have to just wait until, hey, I hit 20 and now I can retire. You're still going to get something out of it, and the government's going to help you with that. Like, I see folks like myself, we get the 20 years, and then it's a time-based mm-hmm. Percentile of your base pay.
Okay.
And so have we taken advantage of it? Absolutely. My wife's an accountant. She makes sure all of my pennies go somewhere important. So we do the thrift savings plan, and we've really built up financially a sound future for my family.
Let's give a shout out to Ms. Remillard, making sure that the money is going in the right places. So earlier this year, the Army decided to go back to their old slogan, which was "Be all you can be." Why do you feel that this slogan is an important message to reach the Gen Z population?
So my perception is that Gen Z is more connected. They're knowledgeable. They know what they want. They know what they like. Be all you can be really focuses that message that the Army allows you to follow that pathway. Like, you know what your pathway is, you know what you want. The Army is that place where you can follow that pathway. You know, there's about 100 different medical professions that the Army employs, and there's hundreds of career opportunities in the enlisted ranks, depending on, you know, what you can test into, what's available based off of the recruiting need. And really, there's a national need, for all jobs across the Army. So talk to your local recruiter, find out how you can fit into that. And so whether you're trying to find your space in the ministry, trying to find your pathway in healthcare, be all you can be really kind of harkens to, like, you can choose that path. The Army will provide you that and some stability to get after that dream, that vision, that passion. To be what you want.
That's great. Well, Colonel Remillard, thank you for joining the AMED Effect. But before you get out of here, is there anything else that you would like to leave with the listeners and the viewers of this show?
I think we said it earlier. Opportunities.
Oh.
Right? Wealth of opportunities from professional to personal development. You want to do cool things and jump out of airplanes, there's an opportunity for that too.
Mm-hmm.
The Army is basically that oyster to help you find that opportunity that you can seek. So word of the day, opportunities.
Thank you again for for coming on and being a part of the show and giving the listeners an overview of the AMED department. We really do appreciate you coming to the AMED Effect.
I appreciate you having me, and hopefully some folks took away some good information and opened their eyes to seek a little bit more information and see if this is the right place for you.
The causes and effects of Army medical opportunities are endless. When you join the U.S. Army Medical Department, not only will you get more out of your medical career, but you will also provide meaningful service to soldiers, their families, military retirees, and last but not least, your country. To learn more about AMED, visit goarmy.com/AMED. That's goarmy.com/AMED. And if you're looking for information on tuition assistance, visit goarmy.com/HPSP. That's goarmy.com/HPSP.